All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Time Out Talk. We're your host, Raphael Singer.
And Hunter Leon.
And another week of NBA action. So let's just jump right into it. A lot to talk about. I guess we could start with the standings. So there's like a lot of surprises as per usual. This has been like a very weird start to the season, and it's only continued as, the weeks have gone by. So I guess we can start with the reigning champs here. Warriors are 4-7 currently. I mean, we talked about them a little bit last episode, but I mean, what do you think of the Warriors' struggles so far?
Well, I was talking to my brother about this. He's a big Warriors fan, and I don't watch every Warriors game. I've been watching some of the tapes, last few minutes of games, but I can't say I've had the time to really sit down and watch every game. But he's been telling me their biggest issue has been foul trouble, that they just can't stop fouling. Their defense has been a little bit underwhelming, even if Steph Curry and Jordan Poole are playing great. So he was saying it doesn't look that bad, but the problem is they're losing to bad teams, and you can't afford to be losing to bad teams if you're trying to win the championship. So if they can really limit those fouls, limit turnovers, then they should be okay. But their style of basketball is pretty high turnover, and it obviously is looking like a high foul kind of play right now.
Fouls is definitely something they gotta, pay more attention to. I also think like part of that might just be like a lot of t people call it like championship hangovers. Like, after you win a championship, it's very hard to sort of get back into the season, and that can often lead to some rocky starts. There's two players that I want to talk about in particular on the Warriors that I think have been pretty disappointing. One of those being Klay Thompson, who I don't think we're ever going to see him return to sort of that like old Klay that we know and love. I mean, yes, he still has potential to, have good games here and there, but in terms of being that all-star player, that always reliable 3-and-D guy, I don't think he's going to be that guy again, especially on defense. And we're even seeing that with his availability. I think the Warriors were talking about like him never being able to play a back-to-back ever again, which is like pretty crazy, but I guess that is sort of the result of two season-ending injuries, and then also getting up there in age. And then another player that I want to talk about is James Wiseman, because there was a lot of expectations on him. Obviously, he's the number two overall pick, in a pretty like loaded draft class with Anthony Edwards, LaMelo Ball. We all know that draft class. But he's been pretty disappointing to start the season. I want to say has not really lived up to expectations and has not really been that like key piece at the five that the Warriors need him to be. Do you agree with that, Hunter? Like, what do you think
Yeah,
about
I
him?
think he's had a few games here and there, but you gotta give him some credit. I mean, he still is fairly new to basketball in general. He was, but still part of the COVID class, so he didn't really have like a normal preseason normal like sort of rookie year. Gets injured again. So it's gonna take him a little bit longer than some of the other players in his class to probably develop. I'm not too mad at what I'm seeing from him, but I do think it's going to take time. And he's not getting like big minutes just because he's coming off the bench. So, I mean, I don't think he's necessarily the problem, but I do think the fouls that he's causing are a problem. I think that the Warriors as a whole are just fouling too much. And I think he's a big part of that.
Yeah, no,
Just,
I would.
like young player mistakes. And the Warriors have a lot of new players, a lot of young players you have to keep in mind, like Moses Moody, Kuminga, Poole, Wiseman, new guys like DiVincenzo in the mix, and guys who are new to this are going to be prone to fouling more. So it's just going to take time. I am not going to be someone to pull the alarm on the Warriors. I don't think anyone's doing that, but I think everyone is kind of shocked by the fact that they did start 4-7, especially because they had one of the weaker schedules just around the league.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. I don't think that it's time to be worried about the Warriors. I still think they're going to end a top three seed, if I'm being honest. Maybe
Yes.
top four. Top three, top four, I think is a pretty much a lock for this team. And it's 'cause there are a lot of bright sides here. I mean, like Steph Curry is still phenomenal. Like he's dropping 40-point games like it's nothing. Still looks like one of the best players in the world. Poole is still look pretty good, I want to say. Draymond and like Looney, those guys are doing their thing. Wiggins has had his moments. So the pieces are there. It's just like sort of tightening up, as you said, like easing up on those fouls. And I fully expect the Warriors to be fine. I guess we can move on from there. Talk about another team in the Western Conference, who I guess has been disappointing to some, and for others, this is sort of what they expected. The Lakers. They're 2-8 right now. Been on a pretty rough stretch as of late, dropping games to the Jazz.
Twice, two games to the Jazz.
Two games to the Jazz, among some other teams. The Cavs, obviously, like they're a good team, but it's been pretty disappointing to be a Lakers fan, to say the least.
Yeah, but
What do you think is the biggest problem with the Lakers right now?
I think there's a few problems. I mean, we have to keep in mind the Lakers have had, I think, a top three hardest strength of schedule to start the season. Not saying that gives them any slack to be 2-8. But we got to hop off on the Russ slander. It cannot be said anymore. Russ has been the only, like, one of very few highlights for this Lakers team, in this little stretch right here. And I'm actually going to shift the blame to an unexpected group of people, which is LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't I'm not going to, like, entirely, like, put everything on them, right? Because it's not all on them, but it's a flipped narrative. When you're watching LeBron and AD play basketball out there, they look uninterested in the team. They look like they're not putting effort in. They're walking the ball up the court, and it doesn't feel like they're invested. Whereas Russell Westbrook looks like he has camaraderie with these younger players. He's coming into the game and he's getting buckets. He's getting assists. He's shooting well. All of a sudden, he's getting MVP chances from the crowds. And that's what you want from your star players. You don't want them to be walking up the ball and barely getting past the 8 second violation every time they walk the ball up the floor. LeBron has been shooting air ball after air ball. He's been draining time on the clock in crunch time, taking ridiculously long threes, ruining Lakers' possessions. It's just like I can compile a list, and it's not like this is new to this year. He did this last year. He did this in 2020. But at least in 2020, the Lakers had fallback options. And last year, they didn't. And that's why the Lakers ended up the 70 seed and out of the playoffs, like the playoff picture. Sorry, not in 2021. So I'm really baffled. And then, okay, sorry, I'm mixing up my years. This happened in 2021. This happened in 2020 when they lost to the Suns, like the
In
2020,
twenty
2021.
twenty,
2020, 2021, and then the 22 season with Russ, that was still happening. The team was just a mess that year. And now this year, it's looking like the same patterns are developing, just in a different way. I do think Darvin Ham has been a good coach. I don't think it's a coaching issue. I really do think it's coming down to the stars. And I have a question for you. How many points do you think Anthony Davis has scored in the fourth quarter of the past five games?
Past five
Every
games.
fourth quarter. Past five games, every fourth quarter.
Gotta say, maybe like 20.
How about two?
Two. Oh my God. I
Two.
mean, this has been
On
something
and
Anthony
how many
Davis.
attempts do you think you've taken?
Maybe like four.
Yeah, it's four attempts. That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean,
So passive in the end of games. And I think I was going to say, Russ and Darvin Ham were both asked about this in press conferences, and they both gave very interesting answers that I think are valid. So Russell Westbrook said, "I'm just trying to find the right play at the right time and make the right read." You know, that's fair. And we've seen him make those right passes to AD, those alley-oop passes. We've seen him, the turnovers are going to come with Russ, but that's a part of his game, and he's been making the right plays. So got to give him a little slack for that. Darvin Ham's answer to that was, "Look, I want him to. I'm trying to get him to shoot. I can't force him. I can't physically force him to shoot out there." That was his answer. So they're both valid answers, and both of those answers involve Anthony Davis needing to step up. Hey, that's that. Russ saying that is not direct, but he's like, "Hey, Anthony Davis, get in the right spot so I can get you the ball."
No, that's very true, and I think this has been a problem throughout Anthony Davis's tenure as a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, he's always been relatively passive and always every coach, like Frank Vogel, was saying the same thing. Like, I want him to be more aggressive. I want him to take over games, especially down the stretch. We've talked about this. When is this team going to be Anthony Davis's? But he's never had that kind of aggressive element to his game where he can just like put the team on his back, at least not in Los Angeles.
Yeah, isn't it very strange that so far, at least in the past five, six games, this team has been showing more of LeBron and AD's efficiencies than Russell Westbrook's deficiencies?
That is very strange. And I fully agree with what you said. It's like Russ has been probably like one of the few sole bright spots on this team. I would say alongside maybe like Lonnie Walker
Lonnie
being
Walker,
very good.
Troy Brown Jr.
Troy Brown Jr. has been solid. That one Matt Ryan game or buzzer beater was fun. Darvin
Yeah,
Ham's been a solid
think
coach.
about how crazy this is. Think about how crazy this is. If the Lakers don't have an insane clutch three by Matt Ryan, they're 1-9 right now. Just like that, it's that
Crazy.
crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, Lakers, it's just, man.
I want to just
We're
talk about
talking Lakers are on
yeah.
pace to win 16 games. They're on pace to win 16 games. Think about how crazy that is.
That would be like one of the lowest wins in NBA history. I think, they'd be fighting against the Charlotte Bobcats for that record. But I just like it's really sad to see because I don't know if you agree with this, but I think this might be the first year we're seeing like visible signs of LeBron's regression as a player. Like, he doesn't have the same aggressiveness to his game, the same burst, the same sort of, that LeBron quality where he can just take over games and stuff. He looks a step slower, looks like he just doesn't have that same energy to him anymore. And
I
he
agree. Even
looks like
last year, he looked better.
he's playing like his age now, which is not great. And yes, he's putting up the numbers, but it's not the typical LeBron numbers. And it's very apparent when you watch the games. And it's not translating to winning either, A 28-8-6 game from LeBron is not what it used to be. He gets his numbers, but it's not really contributing to winning right now. And it's very unfortunate to see because LeBron has always been a guy throughout his career who never really showed any signs of slowing down. And now it seems like he's finally hit that point.
You know why? It's because he made the Father Time ads, and now it's coming back to bite them.
I know that, Why would you draw attention to it, LeBron? It's like the commentator curse whenever they're talking about how a player has not missed a free throw all night when they're at the line and they inevitably miss the free throw. But I want to talk about this Lakers team right now. Just one thing, like we were kind of talking about it before the podcast. Do you think the Lakers should blow this team up?
I mean, like, I just don't have fun watching this team. Like, I haven't had fun watching the Lakers since maybe 2021. Like, when we played against the Suns, I was still enjoying some of those Laker games.
Agreed.
But I haven't had like a nice like season where I've been happy in 2 or 3 years of Laker basketball. And that's crazy because the stars haven't changed. It's still LeBron and AD. I think th that the Lakers have screwed themselves over because they don't have that many picks. They've given picks out. So this year, their pick is going to the Pelicans. And if they decide to blow it up, I mean, they're kind of just throwing away this year and saying this year doesn't matter. Let's just hope for future years. I think realistically, the Lakers have to play this season out just because they don't have a pick this
Yeah.
year. But by next season, I think if the Lakers are in a position again where they don't make at least the play-in, they have to blow it up.
I agree with that because like right now, like I just like this team is not fun. They're not winning anything. Their ceiling is the play-in. Even if the Lakers made that trade, which in hindsight would be really, really stupid, and I honestly like I can't give the Lakers front office much credit, but I have to give them credit for not trading those two first-round picks unprotected to like a team like the Pacers or a team like Sacramento.
Or the King, or sorry, or the Nets. I mean, think about how crazy this is. So, we know how the story goes. The Brooklyn Nets want the Russ deal to happen. Lakers won't give them two firsts. They'll only give them one. Then eventually, it all works out, and the Lake The Nets don't want to do the deal anymore. And now the Lakers are like, please, we'll give you the two picks. We'll do it, please. And the Nets say no.
Yeah, that would have been
And
great.
now look how that has worked out. I mean, and
With the
again,
Lakers, yeah.
that's not a Lakers GM decision. That's a Nets GM decision. That's a Sean Marks decision. So
That's true.
every time the Lakers have had like a positive a win in the ownership column, it's been because it hasn't been their decision.
Okay, but they could have made that deal with the Pacers to get Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. That was a deal that was on the
That's
card,
true.
but they didn't make it. And you have to give them some credit, although like they have made a plethora. Rob Pelinka and company have made a plethora
Did you...
of like really just not intelligent decisions.
I have a question for you. Do you think if Buddy Hield and Miles Turner were on this team, regardless of Russ, right? Because Russ is playing well, but do you think LeBron and AD would be more interested or playing better? Or do you think it would
No,
just.
I don't think this is a matter of like, oh, you add two players and suddenly the team just turns into a contender. I think maybe they'll play marginally better, but I don't think Buddy Hield and Miles Turner improve this team that much, you know? They'll make this team better, probably, but they would turn take them from like one of the worst teams in the Western Conference to a fringe play-in team. So I think that, you know, it seems like the ceiling of this team is just the play-in maximum, no matter the kind of talent you surround them, just because the personnel that you have right now is just not working. You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis are nowhere near the like superstar best duo in the NBA that they used to be. You know, LeBron is like looking pretty old, pretty washed up, and AD just looks like a shell of himself and is just like non-existent in the fourth quarter and can't really take over games like he used to. So
I won't call LeBron a shell of himself entirely. I
I
think
never
that,
said, I said he just looks a little washed. That's all.
yeah, I think part of that is, I mean, he did get sick and he started playing bad when he got sick, so maybe he's still recovering from that. We'll see if he can come back and have a bounce back game because he was out last game, so he got some rest. And if he has a bounce back game where he actually looks good and interested in the game, then I'll give him some credit and say maybe it was just the sickness. But if I don't see that from LeBron, I'm just going to assume that it's the aging. And the wear on his legs. And it does feel a little bit like LeBron's just waiting to pass that Kareem milestone right now. Like it feels like that's all he cares about, which valid. I understand that he wants to pass Kareem, but like it should always be your first priority to win.
Yeah,
I
and
feel like the Lakers assembled this team of veterans to be have the mindset to win games. And I think all the role players are buying into that idea. I think Lonnie Walker, I think Pat Bev, I think guys who aren't even playing are buying into this idea because they're playing hard, they're playing good defense, they're being scrappy and doing everything they need to do, except shooting, right? Shooting isn't falling, but they've been better at shooting recently. But the stars aren't buying into it. Even Russell Westbrook is buying into it. Russell Westbrook is playing great defense. He looks great out there,
he's
but
great.
LeBron and AD aren't buying it. They're not, which is crazy because they're the leaders of the team. And usually the leaders are set the tone for a team. But as of right now, it feels like Russell Westbrook is the one setting the tone for the team. And it's interesting. They've been, Darvin Ham has been subbing Russell Westbrook into games earlier and earlier and earlier just because LeBron and AD have been lackluster from a just like starting the game. And there's no energy, there's no vibe, there's this team doesn't have anything until Russell Westbrook's on the floor and they get some transition game going.
I mean, this team at this point, like, is turning slowly but surely into Russell Westbrook's team, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yes. Dude,
Like, not, yeah. I was just gonna
I
say, like,
would
not.
honestly love, I would love to see if we could get like a 30, 10, and 10 Russ. Like if we could get, could you imagine if we could get like a real triple double Westbrook, like go back to the Wizards or go back to the OKC just for a few games, just for a little stretch. Let LeBron sit, let AD sit, and just have the Russ show. And I think that would be more fun to watch, even if
That
we
would
weren't winning
100% be
games.
more fun to watch because Russell Westbrook, for as much as you'll talk about him, and honestly, I didn't expect this from him because of his like comments before the season, like him just seeming like he was just showing up, being an employee as a part of this organization. He's really bought into this team, and he seems like he cares about winning, and cares about, you know, like having camaraderie with the fellow teammates. Like you see, Juantos Connor-Anderson calling Russell Westbrook like one of his favorite teammates ever. And you know, we're only a few weeks into the season. So I really like Russell
Dude, and
Westbrook.
then now it's LeBron and AD not buying it. It's just so crazy. It's a total narrative flip.
I
I mean,
know,
like,
it's
we can
wild.
stop talking about the Lakers because we got so much into them. But it's just so wild to me, not just as a Laker fan, but as a general fan of the NBA. I don't think I've ever seen such an extreme flip. I mean, this is like it's the equivalent to if right now Ben Simmons started balling out, like, I mean, just absolutely dominating the league, and Kevin Durant started averaging 5 points a game. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. No, it is pretty wild, and we've never really seen anything like this before. I didn't. Well, last thing I'll say about the Lakers is I think when you're looking for someone to blame on this team, it can be easy to go to LeBron, right? Because he's obviously the biggest name on this team. You expect him to play the best, you expect this to be his team. But let's view this in a context, right? LeBron James, at this point in his career, is nearing 40 years old, okay? 40 years old in year 20 of his career, the Lakers made a blockbuster deal, sending many of their promising young players, some of which who are now all-stars, to New Orleans to bring in a superstar forward in Anthony Davis to be the next face of the team. And throughout the 4 or so years that Anthony Davis has been on this team, this has never been Anthony Davis's team. Even now, where LeBron has literally shown visible signs of regression, it's still not AD's team. It's Westbrook's team now. That's unbelievable for me to say. And the regression of Anthony Davis from one of the best players in the league, one of the best big men in the league, to, just a mediocre, disappointing player who just has no passion for the game is unbelievable. And I still, every time I see him, I just wonder where that player in New Orleans or even that player in 2020 went.
Yeah, I mean, that's who knows. I really don't have the answer to that, but we can confirm that the Lakers had a vision, and it wasn't a bad vision. It was a good vision. The idea that you get somebody to carry the torch, somebody a little younger than LeBron, but still a top five player in the league, and he just hasn't panned out to be the guy that you thought he was going to be. Now,
Yeah.
does that shift all the blame on the AD? No, there's a lot of people that deserve blame on right now, and I think most of it is between management and LeBron and AD.
I agree. The
Right,
Lakers are
moving
just a
on.
mess. I do. Okay, let's just skip around the document because that brings me to somebody else. I want to talk about the Clippers really quick because we give a lot of criticism to Anthony Davis. We make jokes about him being made out of glass, always damaged, Anthony Data Davis, all these nicknames, all these jokes because he missed a significant amount of time due to injuries. But one guy we do not criticize seemingly ever for this is Kawhi Leonard, who, missed his eighth consecutive game. His timetable to return is uncertain, according to the Clippers. And we just have no idea what's up with Kawhi Leonard because we thought that he was going to be playing just, like a good amount of games, like 60 plus this year. And yet he's missed eight straight now, and we have no idea. But yet nobody talks about this, and nobody criticizes
And
him.
also, people don't talk about the fact that Kawhi Leonard has played less games than Anthony Davis in the past 4 years. Which, I mean, like, people talk, like you were saying, people always talk about AD, but they never talk about Kawhi. And I think part of that is, like, this, like, face of the team, like, bias in the sense, like, Kawhi won as the face of his team in, like, 2019. I think people still see that Kawhi in their head and they go, oh, there's no way that he could be bad or, like, be injured so much just because when you think Kawhi, you think that, shot against the Sixers or just like that insane run against the Bucks and the Warriors. That's what you think of when you think of Kawhi, but you don't necessarily connect Anthony Davis with something to that extreme level of dominance.
That's a fair point. I just think that, just because you had like some very crazy highs and a lot of accolades and great runs shouldn't just make you exempt from all criticism. Like, we should be criticizing Kawhi. Like, why are you missing so much time? You're like, give him the same energy that you're giving AD, And this is not to sort
Yo,
of defend
absolutely.
either of them. I'm just saying, like, don't have a double standard and be consistent with your criticisms if you're going to critique players for missing time. And I think, the Clippers, while they have been much better than the Lakers, they're 6-5 right now, and they just had a crazy comeback win against the Cavaliers, powered by Paul George. I still think, like, we talked about this team as being a championship favorite. And here they are as just like a middling team because of Kawhi missing all this time and not being on this team.
Yeah, and it's just, I hope Kawhi can become healthy at some point in his career. I don't think that's likely, and there is more likely than not something far more serious and ongoing than we all know about. Maybe they know what it is, maybe they don't know. But it's clear that you can't be missing 3 straight seasons like without there being something extremely wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I guess that's all we could say about the Clippers right now. I guess we can
But
move on.
I was gonna say about the Clippers, I do think that they could be a 500 team, like a higher sided play-in team or a even a playoff team without Kawhi Leonard. I think they have
Of
all the
course.
role players and Paul George, if he plays up to like 30 points like OKC Paul George, he could be a dark horse MVP candidate if he really takes this Clippers team places without Kawhi.
Yeah, I mean, like Paul George, he had a great game against the Cavs. He dropped 26, 5, and 3. Big comeback victory, I think, in Cleveland. It was a great win against a
No,
very.
this was not in Cleveland. This was in LA. My
Oh, is
brother and my
that?
dad were at the
Oh, apologies. Sorry, I was at Chris Paul.
game.
My bad. But still, like, nevertheless, a very good win against a good Cavs team. And so, like, this team, yeah, they could be good, maybe make the playoffs without Kawhi, but they're not never going to be that championship contender that we expected them to be with him. And I think there's a lot of questions we got to be asking about Kawhi. And yes, he's a solidified Hall of Famer, no question about it. But this is really sort of, if this trend continues toward like the tail end of his career, like there's going to be a big stain on his legacy, or at least a big asterisk, you know?
There's one last team I would talk about in the West about just like from a record standpoint, and this is a positive one. We already talked about them a lot on the last pod, so we can make this one quick. But the Utah Jazz are 9-3, the number one seed in the West, at
I
like
don't.
a sizable portion into the season. We're not talking 2, 3 games. We're talking t 10, 12 games into the season, like an eighth of the way, even less than that into the season. And they're the one seed led by Jordan Clarkson.
No, led by Lauri Markkanen, man. Come on.
Jordan Clarkson has been the leader of the team. Lauri Markkanen has been the best player of the team. There's a difference.
Okay. I mean, I would never say that this is Jordan Clarkson's team. This is clearly Lauri Markkanen, who I think as at this point has the most improved player award like secured. If not,
I
I
would
mean,
agree.
with the way he's playing, and if the Jazz are the one seed, maybe MVP too, because this guy's been balling once he's gotten to Utah.
Okay.
I was just gonna
The
say,
only question,
yeah.
go ahead.
I was gonna say, I've been really impressed by this Jazz team. Like, I don't think they're gonna be a top four seed, or maybe even not even a playoff team, but this team is so much fun to watch, and it's just so fun to see players like Lauri Markkanen, who have been underutilized and misused their whole career, really getting the chance to shine and are just playing incredibly well and up to their potential. And it's just a team full of like guys who were sort of cast aside by their teams. Or like kind of misfits, like even like Talen Horton-Tucker, Colin Sexton, these kind of guys, and they're just like absolutely hooping, and it's just a blast to see. Like, this is one of the most fun teams to watch in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, my question I was going to ask, which you kind of answered, was do you think they're legit? Like
Okay.
not like a legit one seed, but just like legit in general, like not the 15 seed kind of team.
Well, okay, I don't think they're ever gonna be the 15 seed. Which is like, damn, we already like messed up one of our predictions. Because I think both of us had the Jazz as the literally worst team in the league. But I think that this team can. I think they could be a play-in team for sure. I mean, there's a lot of like fluctuation in the standings right now, and a lot of things we don't really know right now, like. I mean, it's clear like the Warriors are not going to be the 12th seed for much longer, and probably, the Timberwolves are going to like start figuring it out pretty soon. But I think the Jazz could be in that picture, and that like maybe like 11 to 8 range. I know that's kind of a big range, but I think that's where they're eventually going to settle in. But what do you think? You think they can make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think they can absolutely be a playing team. And I think this could be one of those, like, just like a random, like, gets into the playoffs kind of team. Like, all it takes from them in like a plan scenario is just one really hot shooting night. This team is so good at shooting threes, which is crazy for a team that's full of slashers, but they're just so good at shooting and offense. They're just going to run you out of the gym and they're going to like score 165 points and you're going to score 150, but it doesn't matter because they scored 165. And it's just
No,
so fun.
I agree, and I like this Jazz team a lot. If you're Danny Ainge in the Jazz front office and you're trying to land Victor Wembanyama next year, I wonder how you feel about how good the Jazz have been playing recently.
Well, I think what you if you're the Jazz, you're looking at increasing the value of these players like Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson and Colin Sexton, and telling other teams around the league to be like, hey, look what we found. We found a gem right here. You can have it for two draft picks, you know? And then maybe halfway through the season, they'll lose every single game. Like, you know,
Maybe they
some
could be the
teams.
last seed. Maybe our prediction could come true.
Yeah. But I want to move on to the East, and
Sure.
talk about a team that we talked about before, but we could talk about a little more in depth, is the Sixers at 5-6. This is a team I think we predicted to be a top seed, you know, 1-2 seed kind of area. And now James Harden's out for a month. So we're looking at, you know, some potential issues this team could have. Joel Embiid hasn't necessarily looked the best. Tyrese Maxey has been balling. But they haven't looked the same that we thought we were gonna see from them coming into this season. What do you think their issues could be?
I mean, I don't think there's anything to really worry about with the Sixers right now. I mean, it's pretty early in the season. I think players like Harden and Embiid like takes a little bit of time for them to gel and get back to playing with each other. I really like what I see from Tyrese Maxey. Like, I'm eternally impressed by the Sixers front office about how they were not willing to let him go in any sort of deal for James Harden. That was a very, very wise and prescient move. But I mean, you also have to look at who they're losing to. I mean, like, they lost to Phoenix the other night. Yeah, they had a close loss to the Knicks, but that, I think they didn't have Embiid in that game. And then they've lost like the Raptors are solid, lost to the Bucks, obviously. But like, there's not really like too many games where like, dang, how like why did this happen? Like, I mean, they didn't lose to the Suns. They beat the Suns. So I'm not really worried. I just like, this kind of struggles of starting the season. Nothing too crazy to worry about. And I think Embiid has looked decent. Like, he's looked good. He's been doing his job, getting his 30 and 10 games. Not like the super dominant like Embiid that was in the MVP talks last year, but he'll get there. I have no concerns about it. Do you disagree?
No, I think this is a team that takes time to mature, like you were saying. And both, I feel like Joel Embiid and James Harden have always been characteristic in starting a season slow or out of shape. And that's not to say that these guys were lazy or anything. I just think that it takes them time to wind back into the season. And I think we could see them go on like a 10-game win streak. Like that's the kind of team we're looking at. So I don't have too many worries for them, but James Harden being out for a month is going to be a void that is going to be need to filled. But I do think Tyrese Maxey can take on that load, so I think they're going to be just fine.
Agreed.
Moving on to the next team, we've talked about them a ton, but it's just so cool to watch. Cavs, 8-2, number 2 seed in the East. They're just balling out. You asked me this question before. You asked me who is the best backcourt in the league, and I definitely now at this point have to give it to Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. I mean, no question in my mind. They have been incredible, especially Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he has looked like an MVP in every sense of the word. How do you feel about this team?
I mean, I'm a big fan of this team. Like, I think, like, Darius Garland, he was out for a little bit, missed some time, but then he slotted right in perfectly. And this team is just so fun. Like, they just play with so much energy. They have so much like variety in their players. Like, yeah, you have Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell, who can score from all three levels, really explosive players. Donovan Mitchell can catch it off the lob, can shoot it from the three, can kind of do it all as a guard. And then you have, like Mobley and Allen just holding it down in the back, in the front court. And, it's just a very exciting team to watch. Then guys
And
like
then you can switch. Oh, I was gonna say you can switch between Kevin Love, Isaac Okoro, and Caris LeVert, who are all very different. They all provide very different strategies. Caris LeVert's just gonna be a pure scorer, three-level scorer. If you need another guy to just go out there and get you buckets, then you have Kevin Love, like you were saying, and he's just a smart veteran player, rebounds threes, and then you got Isaac Okoro, a defensive specialist. So I mean, you really got a good mix at that third, at that three or four spot.
And I think I also want to say like JP Bickerstaff, is a very underrated coach. Like he does a great job with this team, making all the pieces fit together, and really creating an identity. Like that's just fast paced and fun to watch. I did have like a hypothetical though. So this Cavs team, yeah, they look really good, but are they really the type of team to, like beat us like a really superstar led team in the playoffs? Like, Milwaukee or Philadelphia or even Boston, seems like they might be missing one piece, right? Superstar kind of level player who can elevate you in the playoffs. What about a guy like LeBron James, right? You trade a couple of
Who
those pieces,
do you trade? Kevin Love, Isaac
maybe you
Okoro,
give Isaac Okoro, maybe even, you kind of throw in a couple picks or something, maybe make it a three-team deal. What would you think about LeBron returning to Cleveland?
and that would be funny. I feel like LeBron would be so pissed.
You don't think he would like to like cap off his career in his hometown?
I think LeBron would be pissed. I think LeBron likes living in LA. I think it's just convenience. I don't think he cares about this so much anymore. I think that LeBron, especially this year, has proven to me that he just maybe doesn't care about what people say about his legacy, and he just wants to go out in the league, just spend time with his family, like in LA and pass Kareem. I think that's what he cares about.
I mean, from a basketball perspective, what? How do you think that move
I
would
think
work?
it would be awesome. I think it would be really cool to see. Please, Lakers, please do that. It's never going to happen, but please. I don't think the Cavs would want that.
I mean, you never know. Like, you get the opportunity to trade for LeBron James. Like, regardless of any, like, whatever he's doing right now, like,
That
what?
name
How
doesn't
does
hold the
like.
same value,
I mean, it's still
unfortunately.
LeBron, dude. Like, like I feel like they would at least consider it.
Yeah, LeBron, who only airballs threes.
All right, let's not slander LeBron. I mean, he's had periods in his career where, he's looked like this and then turned it around. So you
No,
never know with
I'm
LeBron.
not slandering LeBron to that extent, but it's painful right now as a Laker
I
fan.
agree. It's not fun to watch. But if you
Yeah, but
keep
I think we can
LeBron.
move on to the next team. The Heat, another team we've already talked about. They are 4-7 on the year. What do you think their deficiencies are?
To be honest, like I'm actually not really sure. I haven't really been able to watch too many Heat games. I mean, it seems like, they just kind of ran it back from with the same team as last year. I saw they had a really, really close game against the Blazers, and then they lost to a Josh Hart buzzer beater, which is kind of tragic. But yeah, I mean, like I'm not really too sure what the issue with this team is. Maybe you have some more insight.
Yeah, I think that it's just this, they're trying to run a system and systems take time to implement, especially with, I mean, you have made the same core, but they're also playing a lot of those, like, guys that the Miami Heat always play, like those undrafted, unproven kind of the guys. And I think it's just taking time to get where they want to be. Shots aren't necessarily falling. Jimmy Butler is like looking like regular season Jimmy, like the inefficient kind of more passive player that is usually there. Bam Adebayo isn't really scoring. I feel like the only player who's really like score first mentality on this team right now is Tyler Hero, but they're just not providing enough offense.
Lack of offense. I mean, The Heat are definitely a team to keep your eye on. I mean, I think I'm definitely going to start tuning into more Heat games just so I could really like diagnose what the issue is. But I think you might be onto some. But yeah, since I don't really have too much to say, I think we could just move on, talk about the next team. And there's a lot to talk about here. The Nets. I guess the who are 4-7 as well. But I guess the biggest like elephant in the room is the whole Kyrie situation that went down. So Hunter, you want to give a brief little recap of what happened with Kyrie?
Yeah, so Kyrie Irving on his Instagram posted what many are claiming as an anti-Semitic post about a movie slash documentary about Black Israelites and I guess some other things about Judaism and Israel. And he was told to condemn that documentary that he put on his social media and basically refused to do so. So in retaliation, he was suspended for at least 5 games, and he's required to do a list of things, including donating $500,000 to anti-hate groups, sensitivity training, anti-Semitic training, having a talk with Sean Marks, and a few other activities as well before he's allowed to even go play basketball at the Brooklyn Nets facility again. So I think it is pretty interesting that this penalty has been given. So what do you think of the extent of these repercussions, and do you think they're deserved?
Well, first, I'm going to say something kind of bold here. I don't know if we're ever going to see Kyrie Irving play basketball in a Brooklyn Nets uniform ever again. I think that this situation might be beyond mending. Just because I think that Kyrie and the Nets organization are on just polar opposites of the spectrum. I think Kyrie doesn't see anything wrong with his actions, and the Brooklyn Nets view what he did as very hateful, very anti-Semitic. And I don't think there's any way to sort of bridge that divide. You know, they give him all these like quests to sort of fulfill before he can play basketball again. I don't think Kyrie wants to do that. I think Kyrie would rather retire than do that because he's a guy, you know, who's been always sort of driven by his principles, whether that's in a good way or a bad way, you know? And so that's what I think about like the situation without even delving into like the sort of the actual like details of what happened, because I think, I don't know. Don't think that's very relevant to the basketball side of this podcast. But in terms of like how this is going to affect the Nets as a team, obviously losing, if they like without Kyrie, this team is just KD and a very, very lackluster, disappointing Ben Simmons. I think this team is going to be basically with like a 4-7 record, like continuing that kind of trajectory because Kevin Durant cannot do it by himself. Ben Simmons is not the player we thought he was going to be, and the supporting cast has been very, very underwhelming. I mean, what do you think of this Nets Kyrie thing?
I think he'll play in the Nets uniform again. I think you're wrong. I mean, he already released a whole press thing on Instagram, basically apologizing. And he already donated the $500,000. So I do think he's taking the steps to mend the situation, whether, you think he's in the right or he's in the wrong. But I do think personally that this whole idea of forcing people to apologize for things that they don't necessarily believe is a ultimately negative thing and doesn't help any cause. And that's not my perspective on it. I don't agree with what Kyrie Irving has said. I condemn his actions and his words, but at the same time, I think there has been a slight overreaction by people, especially with the whole Kanye West situation as well. I think people have been comparing the two a lot, especially after Nike released Kyrie Irving, similarly to how Kanye had been dropped by Adidas. I think there's this, like the whole thing, this idea that Kanye was talking about with the Jews controlling this, and this, blah 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 blah, whatever, and then by when somebody says something anti-Semitic, or somebody thinks somebody says anti-Semitic, and then they get banned from the media, they get banned from the banks. They get banned from this, they get banned from that, and they get fined a whole ton of money. Isn't that just proving their point?
Yeah, it doesn't really, it's
It
not an
doesn't
effective
help.
remedy,
It's not an
yeah.
effective way of remedying a situation. And I think that there are smarter, better actions that could be done. And I think it's really interesting because these same people who are condemning Kyrie Irving and condemning Kanye West, and I'm not saying that either of these people are in the right, but I think these same people that condemning them are the same people that are very anti-Israel and anti-Jew. I think it's really just a weird situation. So I know this isn't something where a podcast where we ever get political, but I think this is one of those moments that's important to chime in on the opinions I have here, especially being a Jew myself, that matters to me.
I mean, yeah, and thank you for, giving that opinion. It's like like you said, like it's very rare that we do get political in this podcast. We actively try to avoid that, but sometimes it is important. And thank you for that. Sorry. I guess
No, it's
coming
one
back
more
to like,
thing to talk about with the Brooklyn Nets.
yeah. So
Nash was fired.
I was like trying to transition like to talking about basketball again. So
So
yes.
another a fellow Jew, Steve Nash. Oh wait, Steve Nash isn't Jewish. No, but
Another
Steve
act of anti-Semitism, Steve Nash.
No, but Canadian Steve Nash was fired from the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, this is kind of old news now because it happened right after we recorded our podcast.
And
But
who else did they hire but Ime Udoka in his
yeah,
shoes?
it's very rare as a Lakers fan, I say I'm so glad I'm not this organization. But I think that the Nets are somehow in a worse, like, just crazy situation than the Lakers.
Yeah, it's like they're the Nets, the Kings, and the Lakers really having a battle to see who's the worst organization out there.
It's so funny because like two or 3 years ago, when it was James Harden had just arrived, it was like the battle for the next few years of who's going to be the best team in the league.
Yeah,
But
there's
they're
all these
actually
like
just battling for the worst team in the
there's
league.
all these graphics out there that are like, should we just fast forward to the finals and it's like the Nets versus the Lakers? Funny how that turned out on for both teams. But yeah, no, I think that I mean this is a good move in my opinion from the Nets. I think that Steve Nash had kind of lost this team by the end. Like none of the players were listening to him. They didn't respect him, which is crazy because we're talking about Steve Nash here, two-time MVP, one of the best point guards of all time, and players are not listening to him. I think Ime Udoka has a lot on his plate here. Like he's they kind of chucked him into like a kitchen on fire and are like, all right, make something beautiful out of this. Like,
I
so
think part of it is that Steve Nash is a lead by example kind of guy in his life and in his career, which isn't going to work with a bunch of like hot-headed stars like Kyrie and KD and Ben Simmons, guys who have a concept of who they are and believe that no matter what, I'm going to do what I'm going to go out there and do. That's their mentality. A lead by example doesn't really work. And I think Ime Udoka is more the type of guy to yell at a group of guys, like almost more like a college coach in a way. And I think maybe the Nets could benefit from that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, all the like controversy aside, I think Ime Udoka is a very, very good head coach. I mean, obviously he was able to take the Celtics to the finals in his first stint with them, in his first year actually. And so I think this move makes sense from a basketball perspective, but this everything else just like it's a very strange move, First, like the timetable between like how quickly they were able to hire him after firing Steve Nash, and also like what this must mean for people within the organization, Like what Ime Udoka did was like pretty wrong. So like for him to just like immediately be welcomed into the organization on a red carpet must make a lot of people feel uncomfortable. And so I don't know, the Brooklyn Nets are just kind of a mess right now. It's just like the battle of the dumpster fires right now in the NBA. It's like who's worse, the Nets or the Lakers? Like we're not talking about the NBA finals here. We're talking about like NBA relegation. Like if they had that, these two organizations would be in the G League. But yeah, that's just
Yeah. And lastly, to I think end things off, I think there's a big elephant in the room that we haven't talked about. I mean, we kind of touched on it last pod, but Luka Doncic has
Oh
had a
my God.
historic season. We're talking about like he has scored 30 points in a row every single game to start the season. No, that's 9 games in a row. Wilt Chamberlain, that's breaking one of Wilt Chamberlain's records, by the way. In 1960, Wilt Chamberlain had 8 games in a row with 30 plus points. So that's the last time somebody did this. 1960. We're talking a 80-year record. Now, Wilt Chamberlain did do this again in 1962 when he scored 30 plus points to start the season 23 times in a row. But obviously, we're talking like crazy Wilt like stories. We're talking about a guy who's just basically a myth to the modern NBA fan. And we're comparing those kinds of numbers to Luka Doncic. That's astounding. And I really do think, as of right now, Luka's my favorite to be MVP. How do you feel about this right
I
now
mean,
for
yeah, it's like
Luka?
I think we kind of take for granted how like insane Luka is. Like, just bro, he's averaging 36, 8, and 8 on 52% field goal percentage, leading the league in points per game, leading the league in isolation point per game, leading the league in post up point per game. Bro, he's leading the league in post up points per game, like as a forward. That's pretty insane. And just like,
I think I was gonna say, I think that we're looking at the next coming of LeBron with less athleticism and more shooting.
I mean, literally, and like, because he's just as good of a playmaker as LeBron, in my opinion. Like, he's just able to make those incredible passes, just those reads where you're like, does he have eyes in the back of his head? And he's been making Dallas like one of the most electrifying offenses in the whole NBA. And they're a team to be feared right now. And yeah, I think like he's definitely going to be, for right now, it's like him and Giannis in those MVP conversations for me. But just the thing about Luka is like, damn, bro. Like, he's really in conversations to break Wilt's records. That's crazy. That's actually like insane.
Now, I have one last question for you to end this pod. We've been talking about LeBron aging, and we've been talking about like newer guys coming in. We saw that Larry Bird and Magic passed the torch to Mike. Mike passed it to Kobe. Kobe passed it to Bron. Bron's held it for a long time. He's been really holding on to that thing. But eventually it's gotta be passed. Which player is getting it passed to them? And it's like a tradition, like it's a visible, like you'll be able to tell who LeBron kind of chooses to be the next leader. Who do you think it's going to be?
It's kind of tough, but I don't want to. I think it might be between. It's got to be between Luka or Giannis, and then maybe we get into like an MJ, or sorry, yeah, like Magic Johnson, Larry Bird situation, where these two guys on opposite conferences are battling it out year after year, and that sort of becomes the rivalry that defines this era of basketball. But also a guy, I know it's incredibly early in his career, and it's far too early to be saying this, and I might look like an absolute idiot, but Paolo Banchero,
I knew it was coming.
look, he's looked incredible coming into the league. Or I mean that so like that's a guy to keep your eye on. I don't think he's gonna get the torch, but like, maybe there's always a chance. Or
Yeah,
maybe it's Victor Wembanyama,
I was gonna say, I think the Magic are just historically good at developing centers, you know?
Yeah.
They're just a team that's known for their centers. Dwight Howard, Shaq, and Paolo.
Exactly.
And I think that's a good place to call the pod. This has been a very successful episode.
It was a long one, but lots to cover. But thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more NBA coverage, so make sure you tune in. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you all then. Take care.
Peace.
Bye-bye.